Well, I've been having fun over the last several weeks actually preaching a series of sermons on the 23rd Psalm. It's been really fun to do that. So I've been taking a verse every week, and so I have all my notes from all those verses. And so if we're here for about 2 hours or so, is that okay? No, I'm kidding. I'm going to hit my New York mode, which I was born in New York, Corning, New York. If you have Corning where you help, thanks for help supporting my family. Anyway, we're going to kind of hit it and hit it pretty hard and fast. So if you have your Bibles, you might want to turn there to the 23rd Psalm. There's a few facts to talk about as far as sheep are concerned that I'm going to share that I think are pretty apropos to what we're talking about. If you see a sheep on its back, you need to help it out a little bit because a sheep can't get up from that position. If he's left there on his back too long, he's going to eventually pass away and die. So I kind of get the idea of help, I've fallen and I can't get up. And so we need to help lend a hand with that. That's why it's important to be in flocks and travel together. Healthy lambs can stand within a few minutes after birth, and they're able to move with the herd almost immediately. But it's sad to me that many Christians cannot stand on their own yet. They don't feel comfortable talking with non-believers or interacting with other people about their faith because they just don't feel confident about that. 1 pound of wool can actually make 10 miles of yarn. So the fruit of the sheep is something that's passed on over and over and over again. You think 10 miles of yarn can be made from 1 pound. Sheep have poor eyesight, but they have this excellent sense of hearing. And so we kind of need God's vision. I think it's something that, you know, we need to listen to Him and hear Him speak and follow His voice. And that's important for us as well. And then also, sheep are very social creatures. They're together in flocks and stuff. And we need worship and Bible study. That's why we're here together, for worship and Bible study. Well, you know, Psalms is the largest book in the Bible. It's 150 chapters long. It also contains the largest chapter in the Bible, which is Psalm 119. I was going to do a quiz, but for the sake of time, we're just going to hit it and run. But Psalm 119 actually has 176 verses in it. Most of the Psalms were written by David, and he was a musician in Saul's court. He also served as a soldier. He was a warrior. He served as a king. But in addition to that, when he was a young boy, he was a shepherd. And so this passage of Scripture really takes on new meaning when you understand that David actually lived the life of a shepherd. This was early on, and it had such a profound impact on his life that this part played a portion of that. And so I thought that was really interesting going through. There's two parts in Psalm 23. There's the first four verses that relate to God as shepherd. It's the idea of Him as shepherd. But then it takes a shift, and the last two verses of the passage of Scripture actually moves Him to a host. Now, this is a great, great passage of Scripture. It's one of the most beloved. A lot of people can recite it. We could probably walk through it in the King James Version here. I'm sure several people would be able to recite it through that. But I did come across a few things that I thought was very interesting because this is such a soothing passage of Scripture. We hear it a lot at funerals and all the niceties and stuff going on through there. But let's go ahead and just read it. I'm going to read it from the CSB Bible, which is the Christian Standard Bible, which is a great translation. It happens to be a Lifeway translation. And since I work with Lifeway, I'm supposed to read out of this. But I would anyway. I love reading the Bible cover to cover through the Christian Standard. So this is what it says. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the right path for His name's sake. Even though I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me before in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. Father, I pray that you will open up this familiar passage to our hearts and lives and help us to see you in the midst of all of this. And Father, I pray that each one of us here has you as our shepherd. It's in your powerful and precious name we pray. Amen. So it starts out, and the very first two words is the Lord. It talks about the Lord. And so it's not just any Lord. It's not just somebody that's not known. It is the Lord. It is the God. It is the creator of the universe, the one who put everything into place and put us here on the face of this earth. It's that Lord. There's no question about who it is. It is the Lord. And then he goes on from that, and he comes in and it says, is my. He is my. And so this is a present tense. It's important for us to understand that He is my Lord. And so He is my. This idea of this present tense, it's all He always is. He has been from the beginning. He always is. But there's a transition that comes here because there's a word my. And that's a personal piece. That piece that my is really personal. And I love the fact that David put this in there. But as you think about that, and you think about the worldwide recognition of this as just a great passage of Scripture, you think in terms of my. Not everybody has the Lord as my shepherd. Because there are some people who don't believe. And they really can't claim the Lord as my shepherd. Now, it sounds really nice to preach this passage or to share and read this passage because it has a great read, and it's so nice and comforting to know that. But the problem is not everybody has him as my shepherd. Hence, the title of my message is the 23rd Psalm, Unplugged. Because there are people that are unplugged from the shepherd. They don't have that relationship with him. And that's important. And so we know that it goes on and says, the Lord is my. So I put a pretty good emphasis on my because that's important. We know that he was David's shepherd. But David talks about he was my shepherd. And again, David's first job as a shepherd, that's usually a job that was given to the youngest child in the family. And so he was the youngest in his family. You remember? I mean, it was his brothers that went ahead, that went up to fight Goliath. And he stayed back, caring for the sheep and caring for his dad and doing all that before he went. But all this was going on through there. But David was a shepherd. And you think about some of the experiences he had as a shepherd. I mean, he killed a lion. He killed a bear. He killed a bear. So that was in the news this week. But yeah, so he did all this. And so he made this huge difference in what he was doing. He understood the role of shepherd. He understood that God was his shepherd. He had that relationship with God. And so I think it's important to understand that piece that the Lord is, the Lord, the awesome God, is my personal. He is my shepherd. Now, that puts on a whole new meaning to the passage if you happen to be a child of his. If you don't know him, you can know him, and you can get to know him better. And that's why I'm grateful for churches like First Baptist that preach the gospel. I'm grateful for Larry to talk about Jesus, talk about his love and what he did on the cross. But he goes on from that. He says, I have what I need. I shall not want is the way the King James would put it. But here the thing is he provides for us. He provides everything that we need is taken care of because he is our shepherd. He's going to see that we are taken care of. And he goes on to verse 2, and he talks about that where he lets me lay down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He lets me. It also used, he makes me. That would be the King James translation, which is a verb. It's a form of putting parts together, combining substances, construct, to create, to cause something to exist or to come about, to bring about. Let's is kind of not to prevent or to forbid or allow. So he lets me. He allows us to to lie down. The Hebrew form is this, it implies this causality. He causes us to be able to lie down, showing that God is the cause of refreshment. This again, he lets me lie down in green pastures. That sounds wonderful, doesn't it? To be able to just kind of lie down in green pastures and to celebrate through there. And so you look at this, the whole idea here is to lie down. This is a sense of rest. It is a sense of rest. It's a sense of this trust and rejuvenation that takes place that we're going to see here in the next few verses. But the idea is we all get tired at times, and we need these times of rest and these times where we can refocus and get caught up into what he wants us to do. And so the idea here is, as we go on, this, he lets me lie down. He lets me rest in green pastures. And the green pastures are like pastures of tender grass. They're mentioned not in respect to food, but really as places of cool and refreshing rest. That's what it literally means. It's that place of cool and relaxing rest. That's what it's about. Ready to go there? Yeah. I know Richard is. Yeah, we're ready to go there. And so I get the idea when I see the word green. Green to me, always when I think of the word green, I think of growth. I think of this whole idea of growth, because and even to grow effectively, we need rest and relaxation. Because it's very difficult to be constantly go, 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 go without stopping for a second and resting a little bit. So we need that rest, not only to feed, but to rest, to enjoy tranquility and peace and safety. Why do we need that? Because he is my shepherd. We need it because he's our shepherd, and he allows that for us to have these periods and times of rest. He maketh me lie down in green pastures, literally in grassy homesteads. I kind of got the idea here. This is like an oasis, kind of. In the midst of everything else that's going on, we have this oasis there. He goes on and he talks about he leads me, which is directional. You see that? He said he lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me. And so leading is direction. His desire is to direct our paths. He wants to help us as we walk along with him. That's important. And so he directs our path. Those that feed on God's goodness must also follow his direction. We need to listen to what he says. He leads them by his providence. He leads us by his word. He leads by his spirit. And he kind of disposes of affairs for the best according to the counsel disposes for their effectiveness. And so we look through here, and the importance is to follow him. But he says he leads me beside quiet waters. This is the still waters. They're not things that, it's not like a rolling rapid or something really fast, but it's these quiet waters through there. And literally, it's waters of stillness is what it would literally translate to, whose quiet flow invites, it just kind of invites to repose. They're contrasted with the boisterous streams on the other hand and stagnant offensive pools on the other. If it was a stagnant deal, you've seen them. They grow green with algae. They smell bad. Things die in them and all that. It's not still, but it's not rapid. It's not flowing all the time and going real fast. It's not like a waterfall. It's just a slow, still stream. And who doesn't like to be around water? Well, I guess if you can't swim, you don't want to be in it. But to be near it or to be by it is something. And so he leads me beside quiet waters. And here again, the idea of being able to get refreshment, to be able to drink up, to eat what he's provided for us, it comes into play in this passage of Scripture. I know this passage of Scripture actually brings one of my favorite passages of Scripture to my mind. Because I know in my life I'm constant go, go, go. Because, I work with Lifeway. It's a pretty demanding job. And lo and behold, like I needed to be pastor of a church also on top of that in my part-time, But the Lord called me to be a co-bivocational pastor. And so that means that we share a responsibility. And that makes it a whole lot more easier to be able to do that. as God has called me to do that. And I can talk more about that later if you want to, and you can ask questions. I'll be around, so if you want to talk later, we can talk. But it brings to me, to mind in my heart and life, the passage of Scripture from Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God." See, I find refreshment in that. It helps me to understand that, you know, I need to stop and I need to listen. I need to hear what God's trying to say. I need to follow Him. And so sometimes that verse hits me like a 2x4. It's the same thing in here. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. And then the whole idea here, we have to remember that He is our shepherd. He is my shepherd. He is my overseer. So I need to let Him lead me. It's not something, you know, sometimes I feel like I get out ahead of Him and I'm kind of tethered to Him. But, you know, that's not what it's about. It's not about us leading Him and saying, "Come on, God." It's about us resting in Him and listening to His voice. Remember, that's one of the things about a sheep, that poor eyesight, but they have keen hearing. We need that keen hearing. And then he goes on in verse 3, and in verse 3, "He renews my life. He leads me along the right path for His name's sake. I shall not lack vitality because He restores my soul. I shall not lack moral direction because He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." And so the whole idea here, He renews my life. Renewal, it's an instance of resuming an activity or state of interruption, of the replacing or repair of something that is worn out, run down, or broken. You ever feel worn out, run down, or broken? Yeah. We all get that way at times. We all. That's why I think the Lord is a genius in putting this passage together and helping us understand this, because He wants to give us rest. He wants to help balance our lives. And we get so out of balance because we're not listening to what He's trying to tell us, and we're not necessarily walking with Him. But again, if you look, the very first word is what? He. He. It is the Lord. It's the focus is still on the shepherd. It's He that helps us with this process. It is He where renewal actually comes from. It doesn't come from all out here. It comes from Him eventually, or that's where it should be coming from. So He renews. We need renewal and we need refreshing. We're kind of like sponges. You know, you take a sponge and you soak it up with water, and then you wring it out, and then all of a sudden it needs to be refilled again. Well, our lives are that same way. We get so caught up and we get so wrung out sometimes because of the pressures of work, because of the pressures at home, because of the pressures of extended family, maybe our neighbors, whatever it is. We get so caught up in all that we're getting wrung out because we keep on pouring our hearts and lives out, and we're worrying, and so it just gets tighter and tighter. The water goes out, and then all of a sudden we need that refreshment. We need that water. We need that sponge to be filled back up. We need that refilling. And so it's important for us because He renews my life, because we are important to God. You are important to God. We're more helpful to the kingdom when we're renewed. You realize that? When we are renewed, we are more helpful to His kingdom because we walk in a fresher walk. That's important. Psalm 51:10 says this. It says, "God, create a clean heart for me and renew a steadfast spirit within me." Isaiah 40, chapter 31, a very familiar passage. "But those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." So how do we go about renewing? How do we get renewed? Well, I think it's important for us to get this idea. It's this whole idea of awakening. We need to be renewed. So the first thing we have to do is we have to humble ourselves. Because what happens a lot of times when we get to this state, we are so full of ourselves and we're so doing things on our own power and in our own strength that we have kind of walked away or left God to the side. And so we have to humble ourselves and recognize that He is God. And so the second thing we need to do is to focus on the shepherd. Focus on the greatness of God. That's a humbling experience in itself, because there's no way that we're face to face or equal with Him, because He is so much better than us and He looks out for us. We also need to spend time in prayer. It's important for us to build our devotional lives and spend time in prayer and in His Word. And then the fifth thing we need to do, not just spend time in prayer, spend time in His Word, but we also need to share with other people. I don't know about you, but I get more energized as I'm ministering to other people and focusing on their issues and helping them along rather than my own issues. Anytime you go on a mission trip, if you've ever been on a mission trip or you're ever helping a mission cause, you are always more blessed than the people you're going there. Now, you're blessing them too, and to them it's wonderful. But you're the one that truly gets the blessing out of it. That's why we can't outgive God. It's all part of His cycle of sufficiency. The thing is He continues to bless and to give and wants to help us. But we want to control our hearts and minds. We want to be in control. We don't want to let loose and let God. We don't want Him to be shepherd. You know, we can do this on our own. That's why sometimes we get lost out there. Here's some questions that might help you in this area. Ask yourself, what is it that inspires me? What is it that inspires me? What is it that gives me hope? Where do I find my hope? What is it that gives me joy? Where does my joy come from? What is it that touches my heart? What touches my heart? And then finally, what heals my heart? What is it that heals my heart? Because you see, we're all walking together through this. We're all walking together through this. He leads me along. He lets me. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews. He leads me along right paths. The shepherd leads us along, giving us, moving us forward and helping us with that direction. We move back. We move backwards kind of when we're not being renewed. Does that make sense? We stagnate. If we're not moving forward, we're kind of drifting back. And so that's what's happening. And that's happening. I mean, we can talk the church or whatever. And I'm talking the universal church. The universal struggles with some of that. But it's hard to be led if we're not staying in God's Word. It's hard to be led. Growth, the key to growth of a disciple of Jesus. This is what research shows. Dr. Rainer has written about this. We've got several books about this. But the true growth of a disciple, true growth, true discipleship, takes place through Bible engagement. It is Bible engagement. And as much as Larry and I as pastors would like to say, you are engaging in our Bible study here, you're not engaging in our Bible study. You're hearing, you know, and some of it, you know, you're hearing, but real Bible engagement takes place in your Sunday school classes, in your life groups, in your small groups. That's where Bible engagement happens, because not only are you reading the Word of God, but you're talking about the Word of God. And so that's why it's important to be involved in that. So it's hard to be led if we're not praying on a regular basis. It's hard to be led if we're not reading God's Word. The Bible talks about pray without ceasing. And so what happens is we just get to the point where we don't listen. So then he goes on and talks about right paths, and the right paths are protection in our walk, and he's not going to lead us astray. We can trust him equivocally through that. Proverbs 3:6 says, think about him in all your ways, and he will guide you on right paths. And so if we think about him, if we pray without ceasing, that helps us in this process. It's hard to do. It's hard to do. I've got a full-time job, you know. But the idea there is have this attitude of prayer all the time. When something comes to your mind, pray for it. You think about that. And again, it's something that can take place if we do it. And then he says, the very last part of verse 3 says, for his name's sake. And so here, it's all about his name. It's all about uplifting the shepherd and helping him. It's he that is our true motivation. Jesus is our true motivation through there. Well, we need to hit it fast because I know I'm running out of time. So verse 4, even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And so here again, it doesn't say if we should go through dark paths or darkest valley. It says when. here again, he knows we all go through dark valleys, you know. We all go through them. I mean, either you're going through one now, you just came out of one, or you're getting ready to go into one. Because, I mean, that's the cycle of life. And those experiences help us to grow. They're there to help that process. And so that's why we need one another. We don't need to live our lives on our own. We need to be in community with one another. And so that's important for us. But even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger. And I can fear no danger because it is the shepherd that is with us. It is you are with us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And here now, really quickly, as far as the rod and staff, they're there. The rod and staff is really there for three things. It's there for it's there for the idea of protection to get rid of some of the dangers that might come our way. But it's also there for guidance and to help prod us along and keep us moving forward, to keep us building our relationship with Jesus. And it's also there for correction. So when we get off the beaten path, he can use that hook and he can kind of correct us and get us in line and get us on track. And so I know I'm talking about the hook, and some of you might be ready. No, we're good. We're good. All right. So, but the idea of that. And so let's move on. Verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. This is the transition that's taken place. Now he becomes the host. The shepherd is the host. And so now we're moving into God's home. You know, he's invited us to come in to be with him. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. It doesn't matter if they're there and he's there. We know that we're in a safe place, right? It doesn't, you know, and so as long as we have the shepherd with us, we're going to be okay. We're going to be okay because his presence means more than anything as we go through those dark times. He talks about, you anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. And there's a couple different meanings with that. The idea that David was actually anointed as king, he was set aside to do that. We have priesthood of the believers. As believers, we have the priesthood. That means we have full access to God because of what Jesus did on the cross, ripping the veil in two so that we have direct access to him. And so the idea here, this anointing with oil, has that kind of kingly piece to it, or this priestly thing to it. But more so than that, I read recently that the anointing of putting oil on a sheep's head in particular helps to guard it from getting caught in briars and some of those places that it might wander into. It also helps to ward off some of the evil pests that come around. I mean, we deal with flies and things of that nature and gnats and, you know, I mean, you name it. They're out there. But sheep have the same thing. And sometimes they'll get into their ears or they'll get into their eyes or into their nostrils. And they can cause all kinds of havoc. And a sheep sometimes will beat their head against a rock trying to get rid of whatever it is that's bothering them. But the oil helps to protect it from that. And so that kind of brings a new meaning to what we're talking about. There are all kinds of pests and there are all kinds of things that are out in the world today that are trying to get into us and to mess us over. And we need protection. And so we need that anointing oil through there. All right, as we go through and we continue to move on, he goes on from that and he says, you anoint my head, my cup overflows. And so here again, it's an endless piece. That whole oil thing can continue to overflow. Last verse, only goodness and faithful love will pursue me. Boy, that's nice to know, isn't it? I mean, if we're in him, now this is not health, wealth, it's not all that. But the idea is that it doesn't say that all things are good. It's not saying that, but it says only goodness and faithful love will pursue me. The fact is Jesus died on the cross, and he is the perfect one and the perfect love, and he gives that to us. But that's going to pursue us all the days of our life if we're found in him. If he's our shepherd, all the days of our life, it's going to continue to help us with that. And so so it's important for us to understand that. Finally, as it goes through and to wind it down, he says, all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord for as long as I live. It's interesting that the translation is as long as I live. I was at a church, one of my churches that I was visiting down in Virginia, and I had a deacon come up to me saying that he did not like the new CSB or the HCSB translations. because it's translated as long as I live. And King James says what? Forever. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so I said, all right, well, let me check it out, because part of my job is to get back to Lifeway things and stuff. And so, but when I got home, I thought, well, let me look into this. So I looked in the Scofield Bible, and in the note of the Scofield Bible where it says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, it says literally means as long as I live. And I thought, huh. And so anyway, so I was able to talk to him about that. But the key here is the fact that because he is our shepherd, he is my shepherd, I can dwell in his house as long as I live. Now, I know as I age and my body's aching and I'm getting sore and knees are going out and all this stuff, I know that one of these days I'm going to have a glorified body and I'll still be alive in him because of what he's done. And so that's important. So he is the shepherd. The question is he really, can you say the Lord is my shepherd? That's the important question. And if you can't, you can today. All you have to do is ask him into your heart and life, and he can be your shepherd. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for the opportunity just to talk about Psalm 23. Lord, it's my prayer that each person here will have a relationship with you and know you personally. They will be on this journey, and Lord, they can go into Bible engagement, that they can stay and just fellowship with one another. Father, this is your time. I pray that you'll be with Pastor Larry, that you'll renew him while he's away, that you'll help him as he's reading some great books, and Lord, as he's just refreshing his soul. Touch his heart, touch his life. I thank you for Richard. I thank you for the staff. I pray, Lord, that you help First Baptist Frederick continue to impact this community for you. We love you, we praise you, and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to be up front if you need prayer, if I can help you with anything.